Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity to stand before you. Let's turn to John chapter 3 real quickly. That song, Being Thankful, made me think of these verses. I was going to save these for later in the message, but might as well start with them. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. We should be very thankful that Jesus Christ came to this earth. Because you think about David and Daniel and all those people that was talked about in that song. Where would they be without Jesus Christ? Where would they be without God? David would have died to Goliath. Daniel would have been eaten by lions. Paul and Silas would have died in jail. You would be dying and going to hell. So right now, every single one of us should be thankful that Jesus Christ came and did something for us. Because if nothing else, he can save your soul. That is the same God who saved David from the Goliath, who created heaven and earth, same God we have today, and that is something to be thankful about. Real quickly, let's get to a word of prayer as we do. Brother Spencer, please lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Turn to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Turn to chapter 45 of Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Turn to chapter 44. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, is there no? There is no God. I know not any. They have made a graven image, are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know they, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a God or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Understand, every single one of these verses we read, and there's a whole lot more. There is one God and one Savior in this world. We might come up with a lot of ideas, or I think this is going to save me. There is one God who can save your soul, and it is Jesus Christ, and it is God of heaven. You see here, verse 10, have formed a God or a molten graven image that is profitable for nothing. Every idol, everything that we come up with, it's useless because it cannot do a single thing for your life except maybe make you feel a little bit better in your flesh. Understand, you will not feel better in heaven or hell because of that graven image. If you believe in that graven image or anything besides God, the one true God and Savior of all mankind, you will not be saved and you will die and go to hell. It is a harsh reality to face that, but understand, that is why God gave us so many verses, so much of his Bible, gave us all the proof we need to know who that true God is so that you don't have to face that. This morning, for a little bit, we're going to look at that. Turn to Acts chapter 4. I mean, we read three verses in Isaiah, one in Hosea, and there was, I mean, you just look up Savior in the Word of God, or only Savior. There are so many places where it says it. We don't have the time to go through every single one of them this morning. Understand, There is no doubt in my mind there is one true God of heaven and earth that created all things, and there is the only way to be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Turn to John chapter 14. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you want to be saved today, there is only one name you can call out to, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody else has ever been able to do anything like Jesus Christ has. We're going to read in Exodus, in Numbers, in actually Daniel chapter 6, we're not chapter 6, 12, whatever it is. We're going to talk about those lions then and understand the only person that has ever been able to deliver anybody from anything is God. You might think, well, I can handle it on my own. Understand, you cannot handle things on your own in this life. You might think you can. There will always be something that comes up that you cannot handle alone. You know what's amazing? When you get God, you can handle anything in this life. I've been pretty sheltered in my life. I haven't had that many problems. You know what? I know that if I trust God, I'll be able to get through whatever comes up. There are people who have gone through the worst things in life that possible happen. Guess what? They had God on their side. They made it through. You have people dying of cancer all around. You know how, it blows my mind how many people we know in the church that have God on their side that have made it through cancer, and their life is completely different. No issues at all. Just think about that. What have you gone through that God has made it possible for you to get through? Well, I did. Really look at it. Did you ever do anything for yourself to take yourself out of it? No. Or if you have, it's not going to last. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Turn to Proverbs 16. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Understand, you might have a way that you think will work. No matter what happens, the ways of man will always lead to death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand, without Jesus, you cannot figure it out on your own. Lost or saved, you cannot figure it out. If you are lost here right now, you can only find a way to go to hell without Jesus Christ. Well, I believe this and I believe that. Understand, if it's not the word of God, don't believe it. That is shocking to a lot of people. It does not matter what is said. It does not matter what I say. If it's not the word of God, don't listen to it. Galatians, it talks about if anybody brings anything other than this gospel. Why? Because this is the only gospel that can save your soul. I can't save your soul. I wish I could. There have been times I sit there and talk to people. I wish I could save your soul for you. Understand, I can't. Jesus Christ can. Amen. Jesus Christ did everything possible for that. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of death and of hell. Turn to John chapter 10. How can Jesus Christ save you from death? How can he give you life? Because he has beaten death. The only one who has ever been able to beat death. Well, other people raise people. How do they raise those people from the dead? How did the Old Testament do it? How did they do it in the New Testament? All by the power of God. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Turn to Mark 16. Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life, and I will take it up again. Mark 16. You know, we read about Jesus dying on the cross. It was a terrible time. But understand, it was a terrible time, but it then led to Mark 16. In verse 1, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. And ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter's that that he goeth before you into Galilee, there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Luke 16 says, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus Christ did die. He rose again from death. He beat death. You cannot beat death on your own. That's why we need our Savior, Jesus Christ, who actually beat it. Look at, go read the chapters before this. He was as dead as you can be. He got out of that grave. He walked out and is alive forevermore today. We already read in Revelation, he was dead, alive forevermore. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. And when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again thy kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Jump down to verse 9. And when they had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Understand, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He went up to heaven, and he is coming back someday. When he comes back, he's going to take the saved out of this life, and those that are lost are going to be left behind to face the wrath of God. You don't want to be there. Understand, go read everywhere where it talks about the wrath of God, and it says, do not go there. You don't want to be there. Why? Because Jesus Christ died so you don't have to face that wrath. He gave you a way out. Turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Eden. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have thou brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Jump up to verse 4. And the compassed the land, and the soul of the people was very discouraged because of the way. Understand, these people got tired of God and the way he said. They come up with a better way. What happened when they got faced with those fiery serpents? They cried out to God, the only one who can save them. They said, the same God that they were just complaining about. Verse 7, people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. They understood who the only way out was, and it was Jesus Christ. It was God himself. Understand, every single man, woman, and child will know the only way out at some point, either in this life or when we face him and you bow down before him and admit that he is Lord God of heaven and earth. Right. Understand, it is a whole lot better to do it in this life than in the life to come. Because in the life to come, it is too late.
Right.
You have right now. Those people that got bit by the fiery serpents, they died. Yep. There was no future for them. They couldn't come back and say, well, I want to believe now. It's too late. When you die, it is too late. You have right now to look unto Jesus Christ and live. Turn to John chapter 3. We read that because it's amazing. God had a purpose for that story in the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You want to have eternal life? You want to have life? Lost friend, right now, if you do not have Jesus Christ, you do not have life. You are dead in your sins. You want to have life? It is only by Jesus Christ. He has only ever been the way out. From Adam to the last man, the only way out is Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve in the garden, what did they need? They made fig leaves. They were covered. No, they needed God to provide for them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of verses. Turn to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. These stories that we read, you know, we teach the kids and think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's just the Bible story on the Old Testament. Understand, those Bible stories tell you exactly who God is.
Amen.
You want to understand the power of God? Go read what he was able to do. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in the New Testament. There's a lot of cool stuff in the Old Testament where I feel like God was just showing off half the time back there. You go read all the wonderful things he's did. He did half of those, he'd still have been God. He'd still be amazing. He decided to give us more than we ever need. Understand, I love the song that the ladies sing sometimes. He'd have still been God, even if he never called as a crippled man's eye, crippled man walk or a blind eye see. He didn't have to do all those miracles, all those wonders. He is still God. But he loved us enough to give these examples. And that's why we have to stick to the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't need anybody else to tell me who God is. I need to get into the word of God. I might not understand. Sometimes it's helpful to have teachers. If they're not teaching the word of God, don't listen to them. If you go to any other man and they don't give you, thus saith the word of God, do not listen to him, because it is not going to change anything in your life. That is a sinner as much as I am. I can come up with a great way. I can make it sound really good. The only way to be saved is by Jesus Christ. Exodus 12, verse 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and upon the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat. Jump down to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by the ordinances forever. Jump down to verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat in the throne unto the firstborn of the captain that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and were a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord, as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and ye gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they say, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulder. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, that were men beside children. And the mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herd, and very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for they had was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had prepared for themselves any victual. We're going to stop there, but understand, all of Egypt, their firstborn died. You know who didn't die? Those that put the blood on the doorpost. God passed over them. How were they saved? How could the people of Egypt were probably wondering, how could Israel get past this? Why aren't they dead? Because God gave them a way out. By the way, any Egyptian that followed that same rule would have been led their way out too. You don't have to die in your sins today. God has given you a way out. It's open to everyone. Anybody who lets that blood cover them, turn to 1 Corinthians. That blood, it's not a physical. For them, it was a physical. They had to kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorpost. Understand, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are leavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Where in that time, they had to kill a lamb and put the actual blood on the doorpost. Understand, Jesus Christ died. He spilt his blood so that you can be covered. So when that time comes, he will pass over you, and you will get to go be in peace forever. And not only that, you go read, Israel, they walked out of there, no problems at all. Not only that, they were given everything that they could need. Egypt wanted them gone. Israel could have come up with their own plan, got out of there their own way. Understand, they wouldn't have made it very far. They would have got stopped wherever they were at. They wouldn't be able to survive. God not only got them out, gave them everything they could need, spoiled them, and they got to walk out scot-free. And then turn to Exodus 14. I love God. He's a completist. He doesn't leave anything up to chance. Exodus 14. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-hahiroth, between Migdol, the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told to the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? that we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready the chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one. Jump down to verse 12. It is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Understand, Egypt was coming after them. Israel had no way out. They were stuck. They were stuck between land and water. They couldn't pass the water. They had Pharaoh and his people following after them. It was a dire situation. There was no way out. Anybody ever been in a situation? There's no way out. If you are dying right now, if you are not saved, you have no way out. But verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Understand, God gave them a way out. What was it? He split the sea, and they walked across on dry land. That doesn't happen without God. God can make the impossible happen. Brother Kyle in his devotional mentioned that this morning. With man, nothing is possible. With God, all things are possible. Understand, the people that Israel feared Egypt and the Pharaoh, they never had to worry about that guy again. Why? He died that day in the sea. If you get saved right now, you never have to worry about hell ever again. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Like I said, God's a completist. He doesn't leave anything up to chance. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Matthew chapter 10 says, no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hands. If you are saved, you never have to worry about losing that salvation. If it was up to me to keep my salvation, it would have been gone a long time ago. That is why I'm so thankful that God did everything so I don't have to worry about it. I knew I got saved June 15, 2008, right there in that pew. I've never had to worry that I am dying and going to hell again because God saved my soul. If you don't know that God has saved your soul, you can't know. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You can know if you have the Son of God in your life today. And if you're not sure, cry out to God and he will hear you according to his will. What's his will? That all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You cry out to God for salvation, God might answer your prayer. If you cry out and seek him with your whole heart. You read in Isaiah, he can be found if you seek him with your whole heart. If you are not saved today, well, I've tried. I can't do it. I've done all these things. It's impossible. No, it is not impossible because God has done it for millions and billions. He's done it from the very beginning of mankind. He can do it for you. You are not too bad to save. That's the one that it breaks my heart when people say, I've just been too evil. You are not too evil to be saved. There are people who have done some atrocious things that God has saved. Go read about Paul. He did some atrocious things. God saved his soul. You go read about Nebuchadnezzar. Atrocious things. I believe that God saved Nebuchadnezzar's soul. Because you see, he changed. He was no longer the same man that he was before. He cried out to God. Understand, I am a evil, terrible sinner. I was 8 years old when I was saved. Guess what? I did some terrible things before I got saved. God still saved my soul. You go read Proverbs, lying is just as bad as murder. I was a liar as big as could be when I was 8 years old. God saved my soul, and I've never had to worry about that salvation again. I've sinned since then. I've never lost that salvation. If you have truly been saved, you can never lose that salvation. So if you're sitting here today and you think, I don't know, ask God, get into the Word of God, and he will make sure it's known, because God doesn't leave anything up to chance, especially your eternity. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross. Turn to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got a hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, and mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. The only one who can deliver from death is the only one who beat death. Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The love of God spread to all mankind. I hope if you get nothing out of this, I hope you understand Jesus Christ died for you. If you get nothing, I hope that you ignore me and get the word of God and understand what I'm trying to present out with this word of God. But if nothing else, understand you are a sinner. Jesus Christ died for your soul. He loved you and he wants you to be with him forever in heaven. That should blow our minds a little bit. That the God of all creation of heaven and earth not only made us, sent his only son to die on the cross a horrible death for you to go be with him forever in heaven. You who rejected him, you who are a sinner, you who are as evil as can be, he wants you to be with him in heaven. And all you have to do is say yes to God. You cry out to God and understand, believing with your whole heart, that is all you have to do to be saved. Well, I've tried this, I was told this. Ignore everything you've been told. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. How simple is that? Literally as simple as can be. Thou shalt be saved. Turn to Acts. Acts chapter 12. This account, it makes me laugh a little bit, but I just love how God showed this to us. Acts chapter 12. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Understand, in this moment, Peter is in prison, going to die. Yeah. There is no if, and, or but about. He is going to die. He is locked in chains, sleeping between two guards, in as far deep in the prison as he can go. He has no way out. And then verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him and said, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals, and so he did. And they said unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Peter had no way out, locked down, can't get out. Angel of the Lord came up, I just imagine kicking him on the side. Get up, let's go. Chains fell off, doors opened, the gate itself opened up. There was guards around him, no one woke up. There was people in that city, no one saw a thing. God gave him a way out. He could not get out on his own. It was certain he was going to die. God can give you a way out, it's certain you're going to die. You go look at Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16. I want to read the whole chapter, but we're not going to do that. So we'll start in verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. And then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Verse 14, the king did everything in his power to find a way out. Daniel, I'm sure he wasn't super happy to go to the lion's den. He knew there was nothing that the king could do or Daniel could do. The king saw it. What does it say? From labor till the going down of the sun to deliver him. There was no way out. Verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, and the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went in his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake unto and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. It's not possible. You go to a den of hungry lions, they're going to eat whatever is in sight. How is it that Daniel walked out, no problem at all? King thought he was sure as dead. God delivered Daniel.
Amen.
My God has shut the lions' mouths. I have done no hurt. He had no scratches on him. He was completely fine. You look at the three Hebrew children a couple chapters before this. In the midst of a burning fiery furnace, you don't survive that. Had no harm whatsoever. No. Understand, when I stand before God, I will be a sinner, but I will have no fear about going to hell because he has delivered me. You can be delivered by God. Well, how can this happen to me? It's not possible. Understand, you can't do it on your own. Anything that you've ever been told where you have to do this or do that or do these 10 things or do that thing or some man go talk to this person, none of that's going to do anything. Get into the word of God and be ye saved. We already read in Isaiah, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. For I am God, and there is no Savior beside me. There is no way out of hell except by Jesus Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all these holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and all those that followed after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenants which God hath made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham and unto the seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God hath raised up his son Jesus, sent away to bless you in turning away from everyone from his iniquities. Turn to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when ye were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and two good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 5, you are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Understand. Lost friend, you are dead in your sins right now. That quicken is to be made alive. You can be made alive today. How? By Jesus Christ. By grace through faith. Because he saw and had the mercy and said, I see your sins. I want to take it away. Psalm 106, I believe it says, sins as far as the east is from the west. Wipe that all away. Have grace. Give you a gift that you do not deserve to be saved today and forever. To be with him in eternity forever. You know what it takes? You repenting of your sins, acknowledging I am a sinner and I need Jesus. That's all it takes, is to you acknowledge you are a sinner and that you need Jesus. Anybody who's ever been saved is the same way. They need Jesus. Well, I need this. No, you need Jesus. That's all you have to do. Turn to Acts 16. You go look and you really study it out. In the Old Testament, how did they get saved? Jesus Christ. New Testament, how did they get saved? Jesus Christ. Today, how do we get saved? Jesus Christ. It's been the same from Adam to today.
Right.
It's always going to be the same. It's never going to change. God has never changed his way. Well, they had to do all those sacrifices. They still had to believe in Jesus. What did all those sacrifices point to? Jesus Christ. That gate of the tabernacle that they went to, what did it point to? Jesus Christ. Everything in Israel's life, everything in the New Testament, what did it always point to? Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's kind of an important deal. You need him. Why do you think God has spent 6,000, mankind has been around for 6,000 years. Why do you think he spent 6,000 years pointing to Jesus Christ? Why did in the creation of the world, Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Why do you think he spent all the time that he did creating this heaven and earth the exact way he did? To point to Jesus Christ. You need Jesus Christ today. Acts 16, verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That was the only answer. Paul and Silas could have said, "Well, you have to let us go. You have to do this. You have to pay all these things." No, he gave them the only answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You go look at Ethiopian eunuch. What was his answer? "I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." What is the only thing that will save your soul? Lost or saved? What's the only way out? Jesus Christ. Well, I'm saved and he's just not helping me. Cry out to God. You go read the verses. It wasn't always just salvation. You know, Brother Kyle read it this morning. He walked upon the water. Peter started sinking. He said, "Lord, save me." Yeah. Peter was a saved child of God. He knew he didn't need salvation for heaven and earth, or for hell. He needed salvation that moment. Yeah. If you are saved, you can still cry out to Jesus. He's the only one who can fix your problems for you. Daniel, saved child of God, couldn't get his own way out. David, saved child of God, couldn't get his own way out against Goliath. Israel, they were God's people, couldn't get their own way out. You realize no one has ever been able to figure out their own way out except Jesus Christ. Yeah. And when you do that, when you understand that, you understand it's not me. I am worth nothing. I have no reason for Jesus Christ to save my soul. It is all his love. 1 John says, "Wherein this is love." Well, turn to 1 John. 1 John. Chapter 4, verse 10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Understand, that has never changed. From the beginning of mankind to today, the way has never changed. If you need salvation today, the only way to get there is by Jesus Christ. If anybody tells you anything otherwise, don't believe it. Because God wrote this word. I can come up with a lot of ideas. I'm not God. If you believe God is a creator, you have to believe his word and understand the only way is to do what God says, that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. "Well, I'm saved and I got stuff I'm going through. I can't figure out a way out." Yeah, you can't. Ask God. He'll deliver you from that. He will make it okay for you. You might still have to deal with some problems in life. Daniel still had to go sleep with those lions at night. The three Hebrew children still had to walk into the fire. David still had to go to fight. But he knew God was going to take care of him. Whether he lived or died, the three Hebrew children, I love it. If God, turn to Daniel chapter 3. I really wanted to quote it and it was not coming to me. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Understand, God might not let you get out of that. You might face some difficult times. I don't think three Hebrew children were scared for a second about what they were going to happen when they walked in there. They walked in there full confidence in God, because if they died, they went to be with God forever. If they lived, they got to show how amazing God is. Understand, in your life, you can either cry out to God and he will make something amazing happen. If you are lost, he will save your soul. There is nothing more amazing than the salvation of the Lord. You can be saved today. If you are saved and you're struggling, you don't know what to do, cry out to God and see what he will do. He might deliver you like the three Hebrew children. You might suffer. Paul got beaten and shipwrecked a couple times. You know what? I don't ever read a part in his life where he was down and out and saying, "I can't go any further." How is that possible? Because God gave him a way out. God can give you a way out. You just have to be able to be willing to go to him and ask him for that way out. Are you willing to ask God for that way out today? Turn to Isaiah 43. Let's all stand. Pianist and song leader, come. Isaiah 43, verse 11. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There is going to be no other way out than our Savior, Jesus Christ. You go read Luke. Simeon, when he saw the baby Jesus, what did he say? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. There is only one way to be saved. Only one way out, and that is Jesus Christ. Are you willing to ask him and cry out to him for that way out? What number shall we sing? That last verse we sang, it talks about peace. Understand, you cannot have peace in your life without God. And when the peace that God can give you is a peace that passeth all understanding. So if you are desperate for peace, you don't know where to go to. Go to the only person who has ever been able to give true peace, and that's God. That is Jesus Christ. And ask for it. He wants to give it to you. He wants to give you life everlasting. He wants to give you life abundantly. But you have to be willing to go to him. He has never left and said, I'm gone. You can't find me. He has always been able to be found. Are you looking for him? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And as we do, see Brother Trent, who's here in a word of prayer.